to order the Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, April 12th, 2017. Start by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Opens Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation, Jurgens, Hill, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann, and Bauman will be gone all day. Consent agenda. General agenda, approve minutes of the meeting held March 29th, 2017. Approve all claims through April 12th, 2017 in the amount of $488,969.71. Accept claim number 170400082. Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $110.50 to be voted on separately below. Approve in place on file correspondence received. Approve district court summary fee report and register of deeds fee report for the month of March 2017. Approve utility permit number 1061. Windstream will be boring in 200 feet of new cable, 10 feet below FL, 5 feet inside of right-of-way, and setting new pedestals on each end to splice into moving cable for future culvert project located in the southeast 4th section 18 and southwest 4th section 17 township 5 north range 8 east Hooker Township. Approved calling for bids on the demolition of the county building located at 221 south 7th Wymore, Nebraska. Bids to be opened on May 10th, 2017 at 9:15. Receive and place on file the Cortland Volunteer Fire and Rescue Annual Summary of EMS Call Reports, April 2016 through April 2017. Approve CBM Managed Services Amendment Number 12 to the Food Service Contract dated April 1st, 2006. For adjustments to contract pricing based on CPI Consumer Price Index. One quick thing there, Roger did pass out the request for the proposals for the bids on demolition of that Wymore property down there. He didn't have the date in there because he wasn't sure, but we will open the bids in on May 10th. That's two meetings from now. So.
And I'll change that or put that in the original that's available.
So Don will put that, we'll have that and advertise that for bids. So.
At 9:15 is what I have.
At 9:15.
9:15.
Yeah. Anything else for the consent agenda? Guess that a service contract for the food service, that's just basically extending another year, or what is that?
That is, and every year it goes to Coughlin, you know,
right.
I don't pay 6 cents a meal, it's what it would be on sites. It's good.
But that's for another year then? Okay.
Additional year to cover the period from July 1, 2017 to June 30th, 2018.
Increase 6 cents.
I think that's what it was, 6 cents.
Can you negotiate with them and tell them we don't have 6 cents a meal? 6 cents?
I think
what's their reasoning behind that?
Well, that's just part of the contract. It just depends where the consumer price index goes. Then they go according to that. That's just something they've done for all the years we've had them. We've had them for a number of years. They've been very good to deal with on that stuff. So I negotiated 1 year with them. And they dropped it down to, supposedly, they only make about $500 a month clear. So that's not too bad, I guess, considering they're pretty packed now with meals. So. But 6 cents isn't bad. I guess I can go to that.
I don't think I've ever dealt with an increase in government at 6 cents.
Maybe they did a comparison study.
Maybe they did.
But that's what it was. So.
Okay.
Entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Byers, second by Tiemann. Discussion. Vote. 6-0 in favor. Regular agenda. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove claim number 1704008 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $110.50. total claims approved through April 12, 2017 in the amount of $489,080.21.
So move.
Second. Motion by Byers, seconded by Juergens. Vote. 5 in favor with Thiemann abstaining. Comments from the Republic and requests for future agenda items. Seeing none, we'll move on. Committee report. Buildings and ground. Winter lights.
I wasn't at Monday's meeting, but Dave said we have nothing out of the ordinary.
So. Yeah, other than he's working on the other restroom now. And
right.
Hopefully they'll start laying tile there pretty soon and stuff. So
if everybody will just learn and go to the restroom before you come to work, it'll be okay.
Equalization. I don't think we have anything there either.
No.
We talked about that earlier. Finance, insurance.
Okay. A fairly, well, I guess it isn't low, but one of the lower ones. I'll go through the high ticket items. Baxter Chrysler Jeep Ram 2017 Dodge Charger in the amount of $27,698. Sheriff's Department.
Who's that for, Terry?
Ace Irrigation Manufacturing Culverts, $16,528. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $36,974.69. Midwest Sales and Service, Bridge Planks and Flags, $16,044.46. Rock On for Hauling, $22,490.88. And we're down to three townships for the fall allocation to finish up on. Weather permitting and supply permitting, that'll be the, I say it every time, but the closest we've been for a long time to getting caught up on supplies to the townships. Engage fourth quarter funding, $36,920.50, for a total of $262,875.82.
Any other thing else? Anything else for finance, insurance, human resources?
Nothing.
Law enforcement, emergency management.
Don't really have anything from Monday to discuss. I guess just wanted to kick around the idea maybe this morning about we had a little bit of discussion about patrol cars and maybe taking an opportunity here to look at using maybe some funds out of inheritance. Gus, I don't know, would you mind stepping up here? Maybe looking at using a few funds out of inheritance and maybe replacing three vehicles this year and trying to get our fleet to where we're staying on top of it, maybe being able, like we've seen with Purple Wave, maybe we can, or another way, we can stay ahead of this and maybe trade the vehicles off while they still have some value and maybe not be upside down in the vehicles all the time and keep an efficient vehicle, something that ain't breaking down on us all the time. So where are we at? Remind me, I was thinking we had two vehicles that were getting pretty high mileage again, or was it three?
I think it's three. We have one. It's a 2005, and it's definitely going to have to hit the road too, I think. But I think three probably. I know most counties, they have over the years, they get into a regimen where they have a routine of so many, the program, just so many in and out each year depending on where you're at, the mileage or the cost on them. The Purple Wave, what we made on it, and I think they made about the same money, I think. Did you get a receipt on that, what they made on the second one?
I haven't received it.
We made about enough off of two to pay for transition costs on one, which is kind of nice versus trying to do that locally. But, yeah, I know there's at least two, and I've looked at my sheet, but I think we're probably pushing three, depending where we go now. Patrol, they started years ago at $70,000, now at $150,000, they move theirs out. When there's still something to them, and they sell them, but...
Gus, about how many miles, what is the mileage on, just guess, on these vehicles, what would be the mileage, do you
think? Right now, we probably have, We probably have a couple getting close to 200,000. And then probably scales down from there. We got two new ones last year and two this year, so that kind of helped a little there. But the ones on top end yet are still there. Most of those are all over the 150. The spare one we have, that we put that transmission, I talked to you and about it a while back, that has 160 or 70,000, but we use that for things for the courthouse and for schools, so we can get by with that one. He doesn't get the daily driving and beating on it. But I just heard from a trooper, like I said, here last week, they're 150,000 now. So I know Matt always didn't like doing that because he said, then that's saying you got to spend that money every year, but things come up then each year and you just act accordingly. But it would be nice to get in a position where you're doing a program so you know something's coming due, you have that figured up and talk about it. So
the good thing about maybe trying to do this, there'll hopefully be more value in the cars that you're replacing, so that will essentially bring the cost down if that's the case, you know. So
well, that's what Missouri and Kansas and State Patrol have done for years. They have a division, that's all they do. The cars come out around 50,000, and a lot of them have equipment on them, and then they just sell them out. And they sell quite a few of them because it does keep the cost down, but you're halfway 100,000 in too, you know. It works good for small departments. I think Weimar did one or two like that over the years. So, yeah, there's more value, and there's the demand for those, because these police packages you can't buy publicly now. They're the all-wheel drive Hemi motors are not available to the public. Twin Rivers didn't know that until he took a couple of them down and get worked on, and so that makes them pretty popular, apparently, because these brought more than I thought they would.
Very good. So, comment.
How many cars do you have?
Actual road, I mean patrol cars?
Patrol cars.
Probably, let's see, 10... Well, probably about 10 to 12 on actual road patrol cars, and then the other ones are like administrative.
So the ones you'd be looking to start replacing would be the road patrol cars, so just to...
The main ones that take it. And then one thing I have to keep in mind, was the chief deputy has one, but it's, and we've been getting by, but that's 2003. But the miles aren't such that we can keep taking care of that for a while and getting us by. But the ones on the road, they'll average, 30,000 a year, probably pretty easy. You know, adds up pretty quick.
So if you swapped out two a year, would that be enough? I mean, we did four last year.
We've done four in the last 2 years, I think. Basically,
four
we
last
got those,
year and one now.
We had two this time around.
Two, and then another.
And two 14s we had last year that were newer that we got a pretty good deal on those 2006s.
Those were really good.
That's
deal.
A good buy.
Yeah,
that's a good buy.
But you think if we moved them quicker, you could sell them to other departments? With the equipment on, or is it better just to dump them?
I think you're probably. I just don't know if there's much market out there. I've never seen anybody else in the county or in the state do that.
That's a lot of money just to equip those things, and you're probably not reusing a lot of that stuff, are you?
As much as we can, but yeah, sometimes you get the pattern, the floor changes or whatever, and then you have to do something different. But yeah, anything that can reuse, we do.
I'd be all for cycling these cars out. My big butt is we've got. I don't know, it seems like dozens of state patrol buzzing around the county doing the same thing. We've got overlap on stuff. You guys obviously have to do things that they don't do.
Correct.
I still don't think people like seeing patrol cars all over the place. I would encourage you to encourage the state patrol to maybe stay out of your county more and let our local jurisdiction take care of things.
We had a sheriff that east of us once, well back, do that, and that didn't fare very well because then they really flooded the county with them. So you have to maintain a working relationship because they have the resources on a major case. Rogers can almost demand I bring them in because they have the crime units and have that.
That's the
so you have to have that relationship. Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
We'll call you when we need you. I think that's the stance we need to take with them, and otherwise we can just kind of be left alone.
Out of sight, out of mind, right?
Yeah. Yes, we did. I think just you had on that we did out of Purple Way. We did for the one car. We got $2,800.
Right.
So we're not sure yet on the other price. We
No. Did you say you got something on that?
Not on the second one.
I would think Purple Wave called to see how we were doing on this one, and I think he said it was similar.
Similar
it's from
price.
A gentleman in Hastings. But see what they do is Like that gentleman had some stuff he sold, so he might want to get that sold, get the money, and just transfer it over to our account on ours. So
I believe it was more. I think it was like
more?
$29.50. I tried to look and stuff.
Yeah, it was pretty
but
similar.
But just
money.
So, I mean, for Don looked it up, and we had a bid on those two cars of, do you remember? One was
$595, and what was the other one? $900?
Yeah, they're both under 1,000. Remember that.
990,
yeah.
I think
yeah.
it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we did do...
did pretty good.
Did pretty good. We did yeah. pretty good by yep. deciding to put them on Purple Wave. So.
Yeah, and no commission. That's really nice.
You no know,
so it's just a little time out for us to get things squared around and charge them and good to go. So yeah, went well.
So that, yep. that is something that I think that we probably may try again.
Look that down
in
the road.
Because that definitely turned out better for the county.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, anything else? I know we have a time event at 9 o'clock, and I see they're here, but we're going to wait just a minute. The only other thing is, yesterday it was in the paper that our emergency manager, Tim Stutzman, did have a motorcycle wreck here in town. Did ask him how he's getting along. He sent an email here, text back to me that a couple vertebrae and a couple broken ribs. So pretty sore. So just other than that, I know Joe said he wasn't in this morning and stuff, so understand why. So, but like I said, it was in the paper yesterday, just so everybody's aware of that. So we do have a timed event at 9:02 on the clock. Or, well, we'll come back to that if there's anything else. For a Veterans Honor, and Phil?
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's my pleasure this morning to introduce our honored veteran, Joe Hawkins. Joe was in the United States Army. He joined in March 29th of 1965 and served until March 28th of 1968. He served in Vietnam as a helicopter crewman. He received the Vietnam Service Medal, National Defense Service Medal, Army Commendation Medal with 7 oak leaf clusters. One overseas bar. He was expert with the M14 and a marksman with the M16. And I know he has several awards of the Air Medal and probably some other ones that didn't get onto his discharge. Just a note about Joe is he was one of the first people I met when I came to Beatrice. I was hired on with the Beatrice Police Department, and he was my first lieutenant. So he pointed me in the right direction and showed me the way to do things the right way, and I have a lot of respect and appreciate everything he's done. So at this time, I'd like to introduce Joe Hawkins.
Thank you. First thing I want to do is thank you as a board for doing this, recognizing veterans. It does mean a lot. I had a whole bunch of things planned to say. Not working that way. Anyway, we weren't thanked when we came home by any means. So anytime we get any recognition, it's very emotional. If you can't tell. Anyway, I wanted to thank you for doing that. I just want to bring out a couple things to you. Vietnam's where I learned to listen to what you're told and let it soak in. The day we got there, we disembarked from the troop ship at Vung Tau, marched to a clearing. We weren't allowed to sit underneath trees in the shade. We had to sit in the sun for about 2.5 hours waiting for a helicopter to come and pick us up and take us to our base at Phu Loi. Of course, sunburned our hands, very miserable day. They flew us to our base. We got there. Everybody's hot. They're tired. My daughter, Christy. They're tired. So they rounded the whole company up, and they told us they had these two big tents for us to sleep in that night, since we had nothing set up for ourselves, and told us, okay, we have three conditions here. So red alert, which means there's attack in progress, yellow alert, which attack is imminent, and green, which means everything's over, everything's fine. and told us what we're supposed to do under each one of those circumstances. Well, that didn't soak in. And in the middle of the night, I think it was around 2 or 3 in the morning, the CQ, or charge of quarters, come running through the tent, red alert, on out the other end. So we're waking up and thinking, what are we supposed to be doing? And by then, we could hear the gunfire. We could see the tracers flying both directions outside our perimeter. So we said, this isn't good for us. We had no weapons. We had no ammunition. We had nothing. We ran out the tent, hid underneath some trucks. We listened, and pretty soon we could hear tracked vehicles right outside the compound, probably a quarter mile or less from where we were. And here the 50 caliber is going off. And we thought, ah, 1st Infantry, because this was a 1st Infantry base, have gone out there and they're taking care of the problem. Only it kept getting louder and louder and louder coming our way. Pretty soon there was a sound of tracks coming from behind us going out, and that was a pair of tanks. And they knocked out. It was what had happened, the VC had overran a Vietnamese Army compound, taking their APCs, or armored personnel carriers, and were trying to break through the outer perimeter onto the base, our base. So the tanks went out, knocked them out. So that's my welcome to Vietnam party by them. The next morning, after we tried to get some sleep, got up and looked, and the trucks we were hiding under were gasoline trucks. So luckily, they didn't get hit. But there, we didn't pay attention. We didn't know where we were supposed to go. And it could have cost us, but it didn't. I just wanted to point that out, that I learned that there. And very briefly mention something that's kind of a pet of mine, and that's Lima Site 85. I don't know if anybody's ever punched it in a computer or looked it up. But if you do, you'll find two Chinooks there in a picture, with all the U.S. Army tail number, everything is taped over so you can't read what it is. Anything. Got picked, volunteered. Said, you're volunteering to go with your aircraft on a mission. Can't tell anybody what you're doing, where you're going, anything else. It's all top secret. I had to be sworn to secrecy, get a clearance, go on. We went up to Ubon, Thailand, and operated out of there, basically. And that's where everything was taped over. They took away all of our personal belongings, all of our uniforms, issued us flight suits, which is the first time we'd ever had flight suits, with no labels in them. And then they told us, if you guys go down or captured, we don't know who you are. So there you go. Oh, by the way, where you're flying up in the mountains up here through these valleys, that's heavy MiG traffic, so keep your eyes open for those. That's what he's supposed to do. Nothing we could do against MiGs, but what it amounted to is we were hauling equipment, generators, and radio equipment up to, gosh, now I can't think of the name of the mountain, Big Mountain, which is the same parallel as Hanoi. We were about 90 miles outside of Hanoi, flying through their little territory. They set up a TRACON, which is a traffic control and advisory sort of stuff, where they could control the aircraft coming in to bomb Hanoi, basically what they were doing. So we hauled all their equipment up for them, and it took we were up there about 30 days to get it all set up, because we couldn't fly every day because of clouds in the mountains. So we did get to meet Ambassador Sullivan, who's the ambassador to, gosh, I don't remember now. Anyway, he threw a big party for the two. There's two helicopters went up, both crews, big party, big celebration, letters of commendation, all that sort of stuff. But Lima Site 85, I wish you would do a little research on it. We got those boys set up there. They were there for about two and a half years, and they lost it. The Vietnamese Army came up and wiped them out. They tried to get help, couldn't get it. So, anyway, I just wanted to point that out too, but and let you know what I was on a CH-47 Chinook. And my job was to maintain the aircraft, make sure that any internal loads were properly secured, that they weren't going to go flying around in there if we were forced down or anything. About it. Man a machine gun. That's about it. Don't know what else to tell you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sorry. I'm sorry I got emotional there, but.
Oh, no, and thank you for. We part of what we get to enjoy is the stories. I mean, it's amazing, some of the stories and what some of our veterans have gone through. It's almost unbelievable and stuff. People, it's hard to realize that went through all that and still.
Still here.
Still here, yeah. It really is. And
we appreciate every single thing you did, Joe.
We appreciate everything you do, everything you've done. We appreciate all the veterans very, very much.
All right, not too much thank yous now.
No, it's a thank you from us to all of you, and appreciate it very much. And we have
certainly
a little something from
thank
the county.
You.
And
Joe, on behalf of the county, I would like to give you the plaque and this small token of our appreciation for your service.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Probably done with law enforcement.
Yep. Yeah. One other thing to point out about Joe is that, Phil just discussed about his veterans service, but then, you know, he comes home and he serves on our police department here in Beatrice for a long period, and he continues to serve us today by helping us out in the emergency management department as part-time duty. So Joe's a pretty special guy.
Yes. Road and Bridge. Terry?
Quite a few of the items we discussed are coming up on the agenda, so I'll bypass those and just there was a discussion on Highway 4 and the conditions of the intersection. Galen visited with the state, and they are scheduled to work on those this summer. As I said before, rock on down to 3 townships left for fall gravel allocation, and Galen has signed easement agreements with the landowners on the Ellis Road North Box Culvert Project. The rest of the things are coming up on our agenda. So that's it.
Quite a few on there. Okay. We got a timed event at 9:15 here. We're not got 2 minutes left. But at 9:15 we have the Culvert Project bids.
Can we get Dave and CJ done in 2 minutes?
Nope. I don't think impossible, right? Yeah, I was looking down, too, to see what else we could. Let's go way down to the bottom one there. Let's, on that next page, approve or disapprove agreement with Hannah Keelan. Well, no, hold. They're going to be here, too. They're coming at 9:30. Never mind. We'll just wait with you because that'll take a little. We only have 1 minute. We have a timed event at 9:15 to close and accept some bids. So we're waiting for the clock here to change and stuff. So, yeah, because I forgot too when I read that. I forgot. No, they're going to be down. So.
Well, and we have Dave Merrill and C.J. Johnson too from Region 5 Services and Region 5 Systems. So they're very flexible.
They're very flexible, but they won't be able to get done in a minute or two either. So
flexible, but they're not quick, evidently.
Yeah, they're not that quick.
I won't get into that.
So we'll just wait. We wait for the clock here to turn 9:15, and then we'll close and accept, reject, or award the covered bids. Do this, but there we are. Now we're 9:15 on the clock. I entertain a motion to close and open the covered bids and reject or award them.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Tiemann, seconded by Lyle. Vote. 5 in favor with Tiemann abstaining. No. You aren't going to bid on culverts. Well, 6 in favor. 6-0 in favor with Bauman absent. So do we have culvert bids?
Who wants them?
Down to Terry. Yep.
There's one that has 2 envelopes that they sent a second envelope on top, and I think that goes with the first one. So, yeah. I don't know what it has, but it's something that goes with it.
Two of them there, John. There is.
And I guess I should have had Galen explain a little bit what they were, the culvert. The culverts were bidding on. There was a group of culverts that the steel that they're bidding on.
Yeah, these are projects.
These are projects. Yeah.
Cool. Same ones we discussed not too long ago when we put out for bids, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. 2 meetings ago, we would have had all of these listed.
Right.
And where we're putting them out, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on the top of the bid sheet. There's 6 county culvert projects, and these are for the steel for those projects.
Grab your stuff.
This is just an addendum attached explanation. Pipe shall be in the bids must be 8-gauge, either 3-inch by 1 or 5-inch by 1 corrugation. Culvert pipes shall be 10-gauge with either 3 by 1 or 5 by 1 corrugation.
On the bid originally, they had the gauge should be 8-gauge.
Yeah.
The addendum for the bid was sent out to the bidders that it should be a minimum of 10-gauge. Okay. Is what that is for.
Galen, do you want me to read all the items separately or a total bid, or I better go separate?
Aren't we taking it as a total bid?
We were. It was put out as a total bid.
Okay.
We were taking it as a total bid.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. This first one is from Midwest Sales and Service Company. The total bid for this project for all the items together is $122,881.74. That's the way I'll read the rest of them, then. Total project bid. This bid is from Ace Eaton Metals. Total project bid of $126,077.75. This bid is from Contech Engineered Solutions. Total bid for the project, $97,039. And I guess I didn't read it in the rest of them, but 10 weeks delivery date, and the rest of them. What is it? Better back up and get those delivery dates. Now, here's a check in this one.
Yep.
On the one from Ace Eaton Metals, delivery date 6 to 14 weeks.
6 to 14 weeks.
Yeah.
Kind of averages out to 10.
This one from Midwest Sales and Service, approximate delivery date, they range from 3 to 4 weeks to 13 to 14 weeks. Each project has its own, from one delivery to the next. Okay. This is from Metal Culverts Incorporated. Total for the project, $132,225.85. The delivery dates range from 3 to 4 weeks to 7 to 8 weeks. As we, is that it?
Yep, that's it.
As we normally do, I guess on this situation, I'd like to Galen review them, and I guess I see no reason, unless he has a reason, to give us a recommendation before the meeting's over and award the project, or would you rather wait?
I can take a look at them.
Okay.
Take a look at them to see that, especially the one, since it's lower than the others, to make sure they meet our specifications.
Yeah. Yep.
And stuff, and then if the meeting's still going on, come back and we'll do it. Otherwise, are you going to make a motion to defer them to Galen? And
yeah, I'll make a motion to defer the bids to Galen to review and to come back with a recommendation.
Second.
Motion by Jurgen, second, and by Lytle. Vote 6-0 in favor. And I thank everybody for bidding, whoever bid on that. So appreciate it very much.
Yep.
So we had 4 bids. We have time to end at 9:30, but Galen reviewing those. We have some interlocal agreements here, Galen. Shall we go ahead and do those? The first one is approve or disapprove resolution for interlocal agreement on bridge replacement project C-341090 between Gage County, Nebraska and Pawnee County, Nebraska.
That would be resolution 17-09.
17-09.
Move to approve.
Second.
By Hill, seconded by Tiemann. Galen, explain it a little bit.
This is a project. It's located on the Gage-Pawnee County line, located in east of 12 Island Grove Township. Gage County will be removing a 16-by-20 bridge and installing a twin 84-inch by 40-foot culverts with head walls. Pawnee County will cost share in this. They will pay for 50% of the engineering cost and 50% of the material cost. Gage County will remove the old structure, install the culverts. For estimated cost on this project is $33,400.
The total amount is
$33,000. Total estimated cost.
So Pawnee is going to share in half the cost of that.
Yeah, their cost is approximately $16,700.
Any other questions? Vote 6-0 in favor. Second, a resolution is approve or disapprove a resolution signing of a project program agreement BL1712. And that's going to be number
17-10.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Tiemann. Galen.
Okay, this resolution is signing of the project program agreement to BL-1712. This resolution is for Gage County. It is proposing a transportation project for which it will like to obtain county bridge match funds for the project number STWD-CBMP1. And this will be through the county bridge match program.
No. Well, that you're on, at least on here, you're on number 3.
Well, this is the resolution for
this it. Is the resolution for it.
Resolution.
Okay, then we approve the agreement. Sorry, go ahead.
Yep. And this is for a project that we turned in and got awarded for a box culvert, and it's located approximately 3 miles north of Odell.
And this is that program that came up with a year or two ago.
Yes. This will be the program that our next item we'll be talking about.
Then item number 3, there's the agreement then for that bridge. Yep. Any more questions?
Maybe that's coming up on the third item, but this is a program that what I call bundling.
Yes.
And the state has come in and said they would pay for half the funds. It'd be a 50-50 cost share. Is that correct?
55.
It'd be 55-45.
Up to 150 some thousand.
$150,000, yes.
Right.
Vote 6-0 in favor. Now, the third one there, Galen. Approve or disapprove the county bridge matching program agreement project number STWD-CBMP1, control number 00974. And this is the agreement for that previous resolution.
Yes. In 2016, the Transportation Innovative Act became law in Nebraska, and it established a new program, and they called it the County Bridge Max Program, CBMP. And this is to provide additional funding to accelerate the repair and replacement of deficient bridges in Nebraska that are greater than 20 foot in length. Gage County currently has approximately 30 deficient bridges that are 30 foot or greater than 20 foot in length. On this project, the state pays 55% of the cost, and the county pays 45% of the cost for the project, up to $150,000 per project. Gage County bundled in a package. They had asked a different innovative ways for the counties to submit their proposals. Gage County did bundle with Nemaha County and Johnson County. All three counties each submitted for a box culvert, and also for we submitted, and the other two counties submitted for two projects for culvert plans. Each county was awarded a box culvert on that, and we did not get awarded any culverts through this project this time. And Gage County will be the overseer for all three counties on this for the projects. The estimated cost for all three counties for the box culverts is right around $751,875. The state will end up paying an estimated $408,981, and the counties will pay approximately $342,893 for the projects for these three box culverts. So,
do we get any money for overseeing the project?
No, that is
that's donated by Gage County.
Each county is required to take care of their own engineering costs and the cost for the plans for the each project for their boxes.
I just thought you said we were overseeing them, and so.
Well, we're doing the paperwork for the county. Will actually pay Gage County, and then we actually pay out to the contractor and the other counties.
The state will pay Gage, and each of those counties will pay Gage County too.
The county, each county will pay their own engineering and those kind of costs on this. Yes.
But we distribute the money and what have you. And again, I ask if we get reimbursed something for doing that work.
No, I don't believe so, no.
So move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Thiemann, second by Juergens. Vote 6-0 in favor.
A little more discussion there.
Oh, hold it. Sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What's the benefit to us being the overseer of this?
Into this project, like I said, they had asked for different innovative ways for counties to submit their proposals to the state. One of the ways was they had asked for counties to bundle together to, in hopes that for these projects, you could get one contractor would bid on all three projects, like all three culverts, and get a better price for the county and for the state on that. And to do that, then, so they didn't have to like in our example, they didn't have to deal directly with all three counties. They chose one county to be the leader in it for the three projects. So it's I guess less paperwork for the state, a lot, and hopefully a better price for bundling the three together. So you could use one contractor to bid on all three box culvert sites.
I think what it really is there's certain big companies that have lobbyists that look for ways to aim things at themselves. You're going to see this with the bridge bundling and some of those where there's going to be certain entities in our state that have influence in Lincoln, and they say, let's bundle all these. It'll be a great deal for everyone. Well, you bundle enough, and you take the pool of this many people that can do it, and you bring it down to this many people that can do it, and prices should drop, but amazingly they stay about the same or increase at about the same rate, just like you can imagine some construction products go up at about that same rate, regardless of fuel, regardless of anything else. So I think that's probably why we're going to start seeing more and more bundling, and then they'll go away, and then they'll try to bundle things again. But that's probably, that's my opinion of what might be influencing some of this.
I don't have a problem with the bundling, but I have a problem with us getting all the paperwork and our staff down there who have other things to do doing all the paperwork, and we're not getting reimbursed the thing. So I think we ought to talk to the State Department about that and let them know we should be reimbursed for the amount of time that we put in putting the paperwork together.
Yeah, it appears to me that we're doing the work of the state.
Yeah.
So that they don't have to talk to three counties. They can talk to one county, and that county does all the paperwork for all three jobs and then hands it to the state. It sounds kind of lazy to me is what it sounds like on the state.
The point is they want to eliminate paperwork, but they want to stick us.
But they're not eliminating any paperwork. They're just pushing it down to a different level.
Myron?
Terry?
One comment I want to make. Since Galen has been hired down there, he has done an excellent job of paperwork, keeping up with all the stuff that has to be done. I would assume they're going to pick the one that they think is going to be most efficient and is going to get the job done the way they want it, and that's why Galen's in charge.
I'll agree with that comment.
I agree with it also.
I should clarify a little bit. As far as the engineer in charge of all three projects is the one that's going to be basically handling the majority of the paperwork.
Right.
Okay. It'll just funnel through Gage County through the engineer.
And the funding, and then the funding end up flowing through, some of the funding end up from the state will flow through Gage County.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So some of that, I don't see a lot of paperwork that you're going to be doing on this total project. Part of why they wanted it bundled was, or part of maybe why we got approved for this, because we didn't on some other ones, was that it was bundled. So, I mean, there's an advantage that way, too. So, but, yeah, are we doing some work that the others would have done otherwise that they would have had a cost for that we're not getting reimbursed, basically? That's a question. And would the state normally be, I think what you guys are saying is, would the state normally be doing that? Now some counties picking that cost up. So that's a question, and I think next time that'd be some good questions. They want comments on this program. They want to have improvements for this program. So those would be some good questions to ask next time. All right.
I would echo what Terry says, though, too. I mean, looking at different counties around, I mean, for an efficiency standpoint through our highway department, this is probably the department they're more comfortable with. I mean, looking at our neighbors.
If we're done, we got a time to end at 9:30. It's 9:33 on the clock. So we have entertain a motion to close and accept, reject, or award rock and gravel bids.
Move to close them and accept them.
We have a motion by Hill.
Second.
Second by Tiemann. Vote. 6-0 in favor.
I do your first gravel.
Yes.
I'm just going to keep them.
They could all be mixed, I guess. That's rock.
Let's keep them two together.
Okay.
Okay. This first bid is a crush rock bid from Rock On Incorporated. As I said in the past, this is from the site's quarry. Delivery cost throughout the townships range from, this is a delivery cost only now. Range from $270 per ton all the way up to $650. Delivery cost for rock from Sites Quarry. Another bid from Rock On Incorporated. from Screen Bank Gravel, bid blank, hauling from Powell Pit. The prices range from $483 per ton all the way to $918 per ton, depending on the township. These are both delivery cost for less material. This is a A-Sand and Gravel, Gage County Gravel bid. In here someplace. Pit price, A sand and gravel, $13 per ton.
There's also trucking ones there in there.
There was, but that's from Rock On.
Yep, those are already
so
covered.
So being this bid said gravel bid only in here.
Right.
The Rock On's already had his.
Right.
Well, Galen, I have to review that unless you want to go through
nope,
that.
Nope. No, I think you're
Galen's
right. Right here.
It's, Galen's going to review them anyway.
Page County gravel bid. Beatrice Sand and Gravel. Coming from Thayer County, so I assume it's, what is it, Alexandria? John, you got these so confusing now, I don't even know where to look.
Yeah, I didn't.
Anyway, pit price, $11.45 per ton from let me back up, excuse me. $11.65 per ton from Beatrice Sand and Gravel, this bid is, and it's hauling from Alexandria. The delivery cost and the materials is how this particular one's bid is ranging anywhere from $18.87 up to $22.47 delivered from Alexandria. Next one, Beatrice Sand and Gravel again. This is come from the Powell Pit. Delivery cost included. Pit price, $11.45 per ton. Price again, delivery cost range from $16.81 per ton to $21.69. We have rock. I'll just pick out a 3/4 crushed rock, $15.50 per ton. Inch and a half crushed rock, $15.50 per ton. They have delivery costs included. Prices range $18.41 per ton to $21.86 per ton delivered.
That's it.
One more. RL FEMA Construction Incorporated. Gage County gravel bid. washed gravel bed blank. This is hauling from the Alex pit. Hauling cost only. Do you have... Okay, this is hauling cost only. Prices range from $709 per ton all the way to $1064 per ton. Hauling from the pile pit. Costs range from $524 per ton all the way up to $1003 per ton. That's all I see.
All right.
That's bids we received. Okay. And we talked about it Monday at committee meeting that we entertain a motion to have Galen look at them and review them, but you know how.
Well, I don't know how to you know, this has been backed up from our normal time frame. Now's the time with the weather coming up, probably the way it sounds, rainy, to get to moving on this stuff as soon as we can, if the companies that submitted the bids are able to get it done. So rather than hold them up another 2 weeks, Galen's going to be busy this morning, but I'd like to have him review those. And he won't be able to bring us back the sheet of paper where every township, but make a recommendation as far as low bids will be accepted. And like we have, we're going to accept all bids as we have in the past. And with the recommendation coming at the low bid, could get started in the next 2 weeks if they wanted to.
Right. Normally we wait 2 weeks
right, to
approve that one. Well, Galen brings us back the spreadsheet. But because of the fact we only have three townships left on the fall allotment and that there's a really, really good possibility that they can start delivering before 2 weeks, we want the motion will be that Galen will review those, and then as soon as he is comfortable with reviewing those, you can contact Galen to find out when you can start hauling who is a low bidder. We're going to give Galen that authority to go ahead and contact the low bidder and go ahead and allow them to start delivering, because of the fact we don't want them to wait 2 weeks before they start delivering. So,
you think there's a really good chance we'll have three townships done in 2 weeks?
It should be close. If it don't rain, and it depends on the availability of the material too. If they have to go clear to Alex to get it all, it'll be tight.
Be tight. Well, we approve them. We have them all. They'll all be in record on when Galen brings us our spreadsheet back. And all we're doing is allowing Galen to have the leeway to go ahead and.
I move we give Galen the authority to review and approve or reject bids.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Byers, seconded by Jurgens. Does everybody understand that? Approve or reject these bids and the authority to grant them the okay to go ahead and haul if that process falls in line. Any more discussion? Go ahead, Eric.
I just talked to another rock supplier. They said they dropped off a bid here that I don't think we opened.
Yeah, well, I didn't notice Barnston didn't have a bid.
Yeah, they
had told me they were going to bid.
I just checked, and I just texted him quick, and he said he dropped one off at 8:30.
This morning? Where did he drop it?
At the clerk's office.
They brought over.
If it was submitted, I think we should open it. If it's not there, then they went through
everything that I thought they brought over. There wasn't a bid in with those car or those culverts, was there? That was left there. I have to have two of those.
Yeah, it's two. If you talk to several of us.
I think stuck in here, but I thought the last ones that came over, I just laid them on. It didn't get mixed into your paperwork, did it?
Mm-mm.
I don't have any.
Let's find out from the office first.
There it is.
Rice Creek.
There it is.
Here.
It's stuck in
right. So is that one? Is it one?
Yep. On.
Yeah. You have to remember this day.
You asked me, and I looked through it once, but it was caught in between the envelopes. Sorry. Thought I had them all pulled out beforehand.
Okay.
You want to do this three times?
No, we don't want to do this three times.
Yeah. No.
This is from SBB Development, LLC, doing business as Rush Creek Quarries. Pit price on Grock. Okay, I went through the three-quarter crushed rock, $13 per ton, and I think I mentioned the inch-and-a-half crushed rock, $14.50 per ton. Those are the two commonly used. There are some delivery costs associated in here. Those delivery costs range from $325 per ton, all the way to $745 per ton. The delivery costs in the southern townships are cheaper simply because of the location.
Well, that will be part of the bids.
Yep. Yes.
I want to thank everybody who bid again and who went through this process. We apologize for the last time what all went on, but appreciate everybody bidding again and being a part of this. We thank you for submitting bids again and everything. So hopefully we got it straightened out. So the motion's been made and seconded to allow Galen to review the bids and to then go ahead and contact them and start scheduling delivery if that works. Any more questions or comments? Vote 6-0 in favor. Okay. Next up on the agenda. I'll find my agenda back. Here we go. We got Dave Merrill and C.J. Johnson from our Region 5 Services and Systems here to present their annual report.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm C.J. Johnson, and I'm the Regional Administrator with Region 5 Systems. Dave and I always travel together because there is a significant difference in our organization. Region 5 Systems is responsible for providing mental health and substance abuse services in southeast Nebraska. We do that primarily by contracting with 11 different agencies. Blue Valley Behavioral Health is our primary provider in the rural counties with multiple satellites throughout the southeast Nebraska. If you go to page 5, just want to point out, we manage about $22 million annually. About 80% of that is state general fund or health care cash fund, and about 13% is federal dollars. 5% of the funding that we utilize comes from the 16 counties in our region. If you look down there, you'll see that 59% of the funding that we receive goes towards adult services, and a very small percentage, about 5%, goes directly to children's services. Overall, about 12% goes towards children's services. And the reason that is most of the money from state dollars towards children and families either goes through juvenile probation or child welfare. You also see that we spend about 13% of our funding on the emergency protective custody system, and I'll cover that in a little bit. If you go to page 19, every year I like to remind you we have a rental assistance program. Quite honestly, this program is nationally recognized at this point. We have, because of that, we've been able to receive millions of dollars of additional federal grant money into southeast Nebraska to provide various kinds of housing opportunities for individuals who have serious mental illness or substance use issues. I try to remind you every year that if you have somebody come in for general assistance, I would always have them contact John Turner at our place first, even if it's not housing related. John works with all the homeless coalitions. He knows all the resources in southeast Nebraska. If he can't direct that person where they are, then you know your general assistance money is being properly spent. I also want to point out that we have a 76% success rate in moving people from transitional housing to permanent housing, and that usually is federal HUD housing. So we're moving people into federal funding there. If you go to page 22, we're responsible for the emergency protective custody system. This is when somebody's experiencing an acute mental health crisis and they're a danger to themselves or others, they can be placed on emergency protective custody hold. When your law enforcement does that, they transport them to Lincoln to the Lancaster County Crisis Center. This last fiscal year, Gage County had about 40 emergency protective custody holds. I do want to say that your law enforcement is very good at utilizing our TASC program as well, which is our crisis response teams. When we started those programs in 2005, we saw a 50% reduction in emergency protective custody holds, which is significant. And I do want to point out, if you want to think about costs associated, in state statute it says counties are actually directly responsible for all costs associated with EPCs. But because of the relationship that you have with the regions and the interlocal agreements, it's significant savings, because 40 emergency protective custody holds at a minimum of 3 days of average length of stay in a hospital would easily be over $120,000 annually. And so it's a significant cost savings to the rural counties to have this relationship. I also want to point out that due to a grant received at the Division of Behavioral Health and funding that's come through us, we're going to be able to, we're starting up a youth crisis response as well. So now when your law enforcement goes out and encounters a family where they're just really struggling, maybe law enforcement's been out there a couple times, two or three times in a few days, they can call the same crisis line they already call, and we will have a therapist go out to meet with that family. They'll be able to follow that family for up to 72 hours afterwards as well. They will then make a referral to Families and Supporting Families, which is a consumer-ran parent partner organization, and they will also follow that family for 72 hours to give them support to not only get them through the crisis, but then also help them make appropriate referrals to get additional support. We think law enforcement is really going to appreciate this, and we're doing exactly the same numbers, everything, so it's an easy transition. The last thing I want to share with you is every year we have what we call behavioral health threat assessment training in Lincoln. It's a 4-day training, and we've received very good feedback over the years. We generally have 60 to 70 law enforcement attend that. One of the challenges, though, from the rural perspective is being gone for 4 days from a area can be pretty difficult for a smaller law enforcement entity. So Kristen Nelson, who's the Director of Emergency Services, has worked with a couple national experts who we are lucky to have in Nebraska, and they've developed a 1-day training, which they're going to start offering several times now a year into the rural area, so law enforcement can go for that 1 day, get the training on how to have encounters with these individuals. It'll make them safer. It'll make everybody safer by providing that, and it'll be no charge to your law enforcement to attend those. On page 22, I do want to talk about our professional partner program. It's been around since 1995. This program specifically works with children who have serious emotional disturbances in their families. These are high-risk children at risk of being moved out of their homes, their schools, their communities. Over the years, this program has been very successful. It has over a 95% success rate at keeping kids in their home. The program has been so successful that now Child Welfare is contracting with us to do follow-up with their families. Juvenile Justice is contracting with us to work with their youth. We have a transition age track now that works with youth from 19 to 24 who are coming out of generally foster care, and a lot of times they end up going through the emergency system if they don't have that support. And most recently, because of the grant I talked about around the crisis response, we've added two more professional partners so that if, in fact, a referral for longer-term care is needed for that family, they can make that referral and we can continue to work with the family on a long-term basis. So with that said, I do have to talk about the statute that requires county's contribution to the state funds. That's on the very last page. Because of the way the legislature, the governor's bill, is indicating that we would face a $290,000 reduction in funding, I do want to let you know that we will be able to submit a budget that accommodates that if we have to, that will not take away any direct services from your communities. The appropriations bill does not make a cut to the system, so we're just keeping everything the same in relation to what the board has approved at this time. And so in mental health, that means Gage County would be $48,726, and in substance use, it'd be $8,945. And I'm very happy to say that this is one of the first springs in a long time I've been able to talk in a normal way to you guys because of my allergies. So, and Danny can attest to that.
Yeah.
I'll be glad to answer any questions regarding my report.
On page 5, on expenditures, 6% of your budget's administration and then another 6% system coordination. What's that system coordination? Is that just another term for administration?
No.
On a different level?
System coordination, the state requires that there are certain coordinating functions that we do. For example, Kristen Nelson, who is the Director of Emergency Services, she coordinates the emergency system. So that's a requirement the state says you have to have coordination for that. Another one is we have to have coordination for the network services. In other words, all the contracting that goes on. We have to have somebody that oversees the audits and some of those requirements, so that's not directly part of our administration. Those are coordinating functions. We have prevention coordination. So your coalitions that work in your counties see money coming through, and that's all coordinated by that. So those are separate. The administration is specifically focused on all the writing the contracts, you know, doing all that stuff, but it's not based on the specific state youth contract coordination functions.
Right.
So that's state. That's all state general fund that we get that goes towards coordination. Any other questions?
Danny, don't have a comment. Your picture was on the second page here or whatever. So I just,
sorry about that.
You change that for every county or
huh?
No.
I just feel very fortunate that Denny's our chair. Denny and I worked together many years ago on behavioral health reform when he was at the legislature. So we feel very fortunate to have a knowledgeable individual regarding behavioral health and working with us. So
thank you, and we're very, very fortunate to have CJ and his staff who do a wonderful, wonderful job for our area. Thank you, CJ.
Thank you.
And I'm Dave Merrill with Region 5 Services, the other Region 5. And as you've just heard, Region 5 Systems is primarily an administrative area office that contracts with other people, though they do provide some direct supports. Region 5 Services provides direct supports to people with developmental disabilities. And with your long history with Beatrice, State Developmental Center and Mosaic and everything, you're more familiar with those services and the people we support than many of the programs that we attend. But I think you might have seeing the very first annual report for 2016. It was just delivered yesterday. So, and the other thing that is unique about this presentation is that it's the first time that Beatrice is its own area program. So Tessa Heumann will be providing the local report, and Joanne Nolting has been doing it for the last 29 years. So Beatrice has become its own area program within Region 5. If you'll turn to the gray sheet, page 6, and 7, you'll see some graphs for the number of people we support. And we support just under 900 people in 15 area programs and 5 satellite programs throughout Region 5. I think the thing that's significant about that 900 people is the whole state of Nebraska with 40 certified providers provides supports to about 4,200 people. So there's a fifth of the people in the state choose Region 5. And there's 40 certified providers, and each family is able to choose who they want to receive services from. And we're pleased that so many people do choose us. In positive indicators of success, one thing I wanted to point out is in all these categories that we've designed as positive indicators, employment, rental, or owning your own home, all have to do with having people be taxpayers, which is a valued role in our communities. So you'll see, in the, especially in the area of employment, that we have 259 people who have jobs in the community. It's an all-time record high for Region 5, and we continue to work on that. And so you'll see people around the community working in a variety of roles. If you look at the total number of staff, there's full-time, part-time, and full-time equivalent. We have about 965 staff. Over 400 and some of those are part-time because we never close. We're open 24/7, 365 days a year. And then you'll see the total budget down below, and the bulk of the funding comes through the federal Medicaid waiver. We had some issues with the state this year because we had signed a contract in June. They'd agreed to pay us a rate of money. And then in September, they notified us in October they were going to pay us 48.15% of a rate rather than the 100% rate that was in the contract. And it's very similar to when BSDC lost their federal funding. The state said they had lost some federal funding for this particular code and they weren't going to pay us. For Region 5, it meant $200,000 a month that we would lose, and we lost it for October, November, December, January, and February. The legislature passed a deficit appropriation bill to replace that lost money, and we have received that for those months. Now we're in March and April where the same thing is happening, where we'll lose $200,000 a month for each of those, and the Appropriations Committee is looking at that issue and trying to handle the issue similar to the whole BSDC. The good news about this is, with all the funding issues that we've encountered this year, is that we are not asking for an increase in county funding. And in fact, this is the 22nd year that no increase is requested. So the amount for Gage County is $39,714. Similar to CJ, just one person we support that would not provide the funding for somebody receiving 24-hour supports. So it's a bargain. County funding is now down to less than one-half of 1% of our total budget. You get to run it through the governing board. We're a public agency. We take great pride in those things as well. I want to echo what CJ said about Dennis. Only he and Dennis and I go back even a little farther. It's about over four decades he's been mentoring me in many ways, and we're really grateful for that. So
thank you.
And if you don't have any questions for me, I'll turn it over to Tessa, and she'll give you the local, the very first Beatrice-only local report for the program.
Thank you to Dave for all you do. Thank you.
Okay, so I had a lot of the information I wanted to share with you guys is actually in our annual report, so I didn't bring any extra paperwork for you to look at. It's just brought my card in case you wanted to keep that. For the most part, Beatrice here, we have six group residences. We have an EFH, which is a person that lives in a home with a subcontractor. And we have four people that we're providing in-home supports. They live with their parents. We have two children that we're providing supports to, and so that's awesome. And we also have one school contract, and we're working on a few more. We're subcontracting with Southern, so that's been really, really cool, and we're working on some with Tri-County, so that's really awesome. What I am really loving about Beatrice is you guys do a great job of supporting us to support people in their jobs. Right now, currently, we have five people that are working at Ashley's. We have 10 people that are working at the popcorn stand. Six people that work at World Lawn. Three people cleaning the Emmanuel Lutheran Church. Two people that are delivering the penny presses. We have a person that works at the Beatrice Public School and NEAPCO and Valentino's. And Beatrice Ford, and we have three people that have just started at the Area Agency on Aging, and we also have one person who's working directly for so that has been super awesome for so many people. We're just getting jobs left and right, and it's been awesome. Special events, we had lots of people go to concerts this year. We had someone go to WWE, which was really, really exciting for him. We had people go to Husker games. We had a person go to the College World Series, a couple of vacations. And we had a family of brothers that were able to move out of their home with their mother this year and live independently for the first time with our support in three different houses. So, and their love and life. So, that's kind of Beatrice. Anyone have any questions for me?
If you ever want to have some fun, get down and get a bag of popcorn and say hi. People that we serve really appreciate that very much.
They love it. It's really good popcorn.
Oh, it is. Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tessa.
Entertain a motion to put the reports on record file.
I would move to approve the reports and place them on file.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Lytle. Vote. 6-0 in favor, and thank you guys for coming. Thank you very much. Next up on the agenda, Lisa Wiegan with the Gage County Tourism. We have some grants that are ready for approval, I think.
I think if you got your packet and so forth, maybe Don gave it to you. I did add just that overall review of the Company C promotion, but I'm guessing you need to approve these individually. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, just kind of an overview. This is a visitor's fund. It's right now at $210,000. So that's the accumulation of through the years since the beginning, but $210,000, and then we need to add. And it's always 3 months behind. So the first application that you have that's being recommended by the board, the advisory board, is for the Fuller Park, which is a display. It's located over by Zion Church. It's located in the rural east part. And if you've been down there by Fuller Park, by Zion Church, it's a beautiful park. It's a very well-maintained ballpark. They are now home to many of the Bullets baseball program and the slow-pitch softball. You know, it's a popular picnic area and playground area, so this is a displayed area. So in my opinion, it's going to promote the rural value of the land, and also their intent is to hopefully host some tournaments and so forth in the future. So that application, keep in mind, has to be 50% match. Some of those funds can be in kind, but it's 50% match. So this approval would be for $3,370 and a few odd cents. So again, these are recommendation. It was unanimous on this one. So
make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Jorgen, second, and by Thiemann. Questions, discussion? If not, vote. 6-0 in favor.
Okay, second one that's up is the Gage County Citizen Soldiers Display. Hearing testimony this morning from our veteran puts this into reality for me, and I'm sure for each of you. But what this is it's being applied for by the Nebraska National Guard Museum. It would be housed at the Gage County Museum in a portion down there. The overall view is that this will honor the military history. I gave you a picture, but the reality is when it was presented to the board, these people right here on this front page were those that left the train station in Gage County, and only two of those returned. And so that's the reality. They're wanting to commemorate that, but also to commemorate the overall service, and specifically in the Company C. This display is... our 50% match would be $12,200, and that's to include the photographs, newspapers, artifacts, and so forth for many of the Gage County families, in addition to the State Historical Society and also the State Guard Museum. Increasing traffic, our hopes are that they will also link it to the Seward Museum, to encourage more visitors to come down here. It also comes at a time when the museum is always looking for, you know, new exhibits, and so they're working hand-in-hand, and the advisory board has given them some direction as to what their intent is and what their hope is. So, again, this is recommended by the advisory board at $12,200.
Make a motion to approve.
Second. We have a motion by Juergens and second by Lytle. Any more discussion? This will be in the museum now?
This will be in Gage County Museum. The goal is, you know, hopefully by eclipse time will be completed, but those things are, you know, being worked out right now as far as the displays and exhibits and so forth.
How big a display is this going to be?
I think if across your drawing, it is measuring 15 foot by 4 3/4 deep by 9 feet wide. So a nice display. In your pictures that you have, I've showed you some. Here's a book, actually, Eric, of the overall view that was presented by the Hartman Group to give you kind of a better view with the actual measurements. So.
Any more discussion? Vote. 6-0 in favor.
Okay, the last one up is the one that we just heard. This is actually going down to the southern part of Gage County, to the Welsh Center again. This is a application to put the, they needed some work done in their fund entrance, but this is the Red Dragon it's a tile image that would actually be in their vestibule. Keep in mind, the Welsh Museum is the only one that's dedicated towards the pioneer of the plains, and so they house many of the United States' artifacts, including the research and genealogy that people come there for. They're getting ready to host their 2018. They hope to host the Welsh Festival. And so this would complete that picture. And they're asking for $1,250, of which they're matching. So,
move to approve.
Second.
Discussion? Vote. 6-0 in favor. I don't know the Welsh down there. They've applied for other grants, but they also do. They have quite a museum and get a lot.
It's a beautiful place. Yeah. Just in summary, I continue to reach out to other communities as they prepare and try to improve their areas and organizations. So we're getting the word out there. So hopefully we'll get some of those funds to come forward. But I do know that matching funds are a little bit harder, you know, to always continue to receive. So that's why they're a little slower. But okay.
I can remember a time when I was on this board here where we were worried about
running out
too low in that account. And
yeah.
Now, over the years, it's built up.
Yeah.
Can do a lot of good for the surrounding area in Gage County.
It is doing good. So thank you.
Yes. Yep. I'm glad to see some people are applying and doing the late work that it takes to do that. Thank you. Next up, we have Dave Varna and John Westra, UNL Extension, discussion on, and Paul Hayes here too, on what we call maybe a city, not a city, a county, state position here, a switch, and we keep having discussion and keep trying to get this process done, maybe.
We do. So good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So I'm going to pass this out. My name is Dave Varner, Associate Director with Nebraska Extension, and with me today is John Westra, new Associate Research and Extension Director for Southeast Nebraska, and Paul Hay, Unit Leader of Gage County, who you know very well, right?
Yes.
So, Myra, do you want to just start and kind of recap where you're at as a board with this and just share with the board why you asked us to be here today?
Well, the one position out there at the office is funded by the county, and it's Jane's position that basically works with 4-H and so on. But it is one that, I guess, has a hard time fitting in a normal 8-hour day. So as part of that, we have struggled with the county how to go about that, and we, for the last year or more, we've talked about maybe switching that position into the university system. The county would still fund it, do that type of work, but it would be under their rules, of which they have a little bit more lenience as far as, I call it a type of a day where she's not on a strict 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gotten far enough now, we're comparing dollar amounts, and we're hopefully, through discussion here, can get this worked out and switch that position over there so that because of the guidelines the counties are by, it doesn't work or hasn't been working. So it's more of a convenience, not a convenience, but a fitting it in so that it works clockwise, time-wise, and all of that, and we're meeting the guidelines we need to meet then.
Exactly. Thanks for setting the stage in that way. So this would be a true salary position with the University of Nebraska. And we actually have this arrangement with several counties throughout the state where the counties fund the assistant position. The dollars are basically just funneled through UNL. We employ the individuals. It's a contractual arrangement is what it is. So you pay the salary and benefits. It's actual salary and benefits. So, for example, if Jane were to leave the position next month and it was vacant for 2 or 3 months, you wouldn't pay anything while that position was vacant. You only pay actual costs, so actual benefit and salary costs. So I wanted you to be clear on that because that's another benefit of this. When the position is open.
Repeat that again.
So if the position is open, you're not paying anything for this position,
okay.
Right? It's a contractual basis, so you're only paying for it when someone is in that role. In this position. So what it provided today, this is getting down to the nuts and bolts that you mentioned, Myron. So Don and Myron had provided us a little summary of what salary and benefits would look like for this position today, looking at health insurance, salary, taxes, et cetera. And so what we try to do is match that and do as best of a comparison as we could to a university position in the same role. And I just want you to know that these are estimates, and a couple of reasons are estimates. One is that with the university, our fiscal year is the same as yours, right? It's July through June. But our open enrollment for benefits is November. So benefit costs can change in November, so mid-fiscal year, right? And, of course, those costs may change based upon increased costs that are incurred by UNL and or the selections that the employee makes at that time. So just know, again, these are benefits, and I just tried to base this on where we are today with the employee who's in this position today and what that person is enrolled in, right? So, and I also did a projection here going out a couple of 3 years just to give you an idea of what this would look like going forward. So column one is the role today as a county employee. Column two is looking at what this might look like starting July 1st of 2017. Actually, if you look at today, the salary that you're paying this employee versus what they would come into our system at are within $150 of each other.
So it's very similar. The next fiscal year already has an increase in there.
Well, and that's projected because, of course, until the university budget is set, we don't know if there will even be an increase. So I just put a 2% in there as a placeholder. So
that's
a good example.
You said that our salary today and what you currently would be at,
which is ours today, would be $35,374.
So that's
right.
$160 more than what
you're at. Exactly. So those are just very close. The key that we've talked about before is retirement benefits. So as a county employee coming into the university system, this individual would not be eligible for university retirement match for 2 years. Right. So the dollars you're looking at there, and we have when the employee begins with it, they can enter in at two different levels of retirement. Right. So it might one option includes a 6% match, one option includes an 8% match. I use the 6% for this example. So if you look under the 2165 in column 2 for retirement, that actually now is included in that bottom line figure of 52,914. So I included it there, but realistically, you won't be paying retirement for this employee through us for this upcoming fiscal year or the next, right? And I don't know if you have another arrangement with this employee to bridge that or not, but we will not provide match. The employee can actually contribute to the retirement, you and our retirement fund, immediately, but there will not be a match. Right? Make sense?
Yes.
As far as the health insurance, so here's the comparison looking at single versus employee plus one versus family insurance. Because this individual will not always be in this position, I wanted to give you an idea of what it would look like, you know, in other scenarios as well and how they compare. And then we get into the university also contributes to a dental plan for employees, which this person would be eligible for. And then there's many other benefits offered to the university benefit program, which we do not provide contribution towards. So disability, life insurance, tuition remission, those are things that are of no cost to the county. Those would be employee benefits or things that the university just offers the employee. So if you look at the bottom line, that gives you an idea of what it would look like for you this year, the $48,431 salary and benefits. Bill coming into the university system next year would be the $52,914 minus the $21,65 or so retirement number above. The second year would be the $54,798 minus the $22,08 in the retirement line above. And I just used some escalators in here as far as health insurance. We know we're going to have another approximately 10% increase on the health care benefits next year. I don't know beyond that. I'm just guessing, as well as the salary numbers. I'm just guessing as far as 2%.
You included that increase in here in the, yeah. In the 17, 18.
Yes, 90. Yes, that's in there. That's included. So, and the way this works, again, it's a memorandum of understanding. It's a supplement to the current interlocal agreement that you have with Nebraska Extension. And it's what we call pay and bill service. So quarterly, we would bill the county exactly what the salary and benefit costs for the previous 3 months.
So the county would end up submitting quarterly payments?
Correct. That is correct.
Part of what we wanted to do, we wanted to get to this page, I kind of call it, so that we can have more discussion with Paul and
right.
Jane out there and stuff, too, and we can kind of try to narrow this all down, too, because we haven't got to this. My goal, I'll just speak there, my goal or hope is that July 1st we can have this all done and switch over. Now, that's my goal. I don't know.
And I would say I wouldn't vote for this right away. This does switch things over like we want. I mean, I think we're going the right direction there.
Right.
And I appreciate the work you've put into this.
Yeah.
What I would be willing to vote for is here's what we're paying, flat rate. I don't care what benefits you take. I don't care if you give 20% retirement. This is what we're paying. This is what the county pays for this employee to the university. And then we could set an inflation number, a raise number in there where this is going to increase by this amount. If your health insurance goes up by 20% or if it drops by 5%, this is what we budget for. This is what we'll pay. This is what we're getting away from is the up and down. I mean, the other side is if we have a county employee, this employee follows the county handbook. Mm-hmm. If you don't follow the county handbook, you're reprimanded. Mm-hmm. You know, and then we go through those those steps, and that's what we're trying to avoid. If this doesn't, and this is any employee, if this doesn't get resolved, we're going to go, you know, I would say the other route where you follow the handbook. You're a county employee, you follow what the county says. So, I mean, in talking here, that's the direction I would like to go. I can't speak for anyone else, but I would say I'd be willing to go, here's a flat fee. This is a great service that's provided, and we're all on board there. This is dollars and cents. This is black and white.
Absolutely.
This, you know, taking an opinion out of it and looking at the dollars.
But no, this is great. We haven't had this before as a board to look at and contemplate or ask questions, and that's why we're glad you put this together or whatever. So and, we get something to look at.
So the advantage here is it's so it is a contractual arrangement. So all personnel issues, evaluations. The county handbook, Central Nebraska University of Nebraska handbook. This person would follow all the policies and procedures for a managerial professional position. That would be the category that this person would be in at the university. The salary and benefits, that's just, this person would be in a certain classification at UNL. So that is something that we cannot negotiate on this because it's the same for every assistant in every county across the state. And that's just a subset of a larger group of employees at UNL. So that part, I know we can't negotiate on. The advantage, again, is it's a salary position, so you're not going to have overtime. Some of those issues are going to go away, right? So yeah, I know you're paying a little bit more for that now, so and I didn't include that here. So that doesn't come into the dollars and cents. So to me, it's like we're contracting with Nebraska Extension. It's your employee. You're supervising the county. Other than adhering to county holidays, office hours, things like that, of course, apply. But as far as personnel issues, we would incur that responsibility. Other questions?
Yeah. While they're here today, here's a great opportunity to ask questions. So, but even Eric's comments, though, in our discussion, we've had those comments.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I understand.
And I know I've had them with you, too, and we've been out there and had them with Paul. And that's what we're still trying to work something here that's doable and that works good for that position and that employee, too. And we're trying to flow through it. It's taken a lot of time. Gary?
Yeah, Dave, I don't think you exactly got what Eric was saying. He wasn't saying that she wouldn't get whatever classification or whatever. He's just saying, here, UNL, here is the lump amount of money. You pay her whatever you want, but the county is giving you this amount to put towards it, is what Eric was saying.
I'm not trying to negotiate with you.
All right, I understand the question.
I'm not saying we'd negotiate with you. We'd negotiate on a dollar amount, and then if we want to do it and you want to keep her there, this is what the university kicks in to make up the difference. It wasn't trying to negotiate what she gets. That's where I'm at, I guess.
Right.
You're right on, Gary.
No, I understood the question. What I'm saying is we can't negotiate that. Okay, so every managerial professional extension assistant at UNL, this is the starting salary. This is the benefit package. Of course, we don't know what the benefits, what retirement package they're going to choose, what benefit package. So we call it a pay and bill system, basically. They're on our system. We incur the cost over 3 months. We bill that back to the entity we're working with, whether it's a county or whoever we might be working with. So that part is pretty set in stone.
A question then here in these columns for yours for UNL's in 2017, you included a 2% increase.
Right.
Did Gage County, is that a 2% increase in the salary too?
Yes.
Or was that the numbers we supplied you with?
No, that was just the number I just projected.
And it's 2% across the board on all of those.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And that's just a guess at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I've looked back at this for other counties over a 10-year period because what you offer for a salary increase 1 year, it may differ at the university and vice versa, right? Yeah. So, but if you look at it over a 10-year period, it probably averages out around 2.5%. So there's ups and downs for the county and university partner, but it averages out to be about the same.
I didn't ask the question.
How is that going to work out with the governor and the legislature recommending that you get nothing?
Right, and that's what it will be then if it's nothing. So there will be no increase. And that's why I indicate this is just an estimate.
So I wanted to make sure we made that very, very clear.
Absolutely, right.
But I didn't ask
your
the question right, because Don just showed me this 35,214 on here.
Mm-hmm.
That's the number that she would receive this last year here at Gage County.
Right.
That's her
correct. That doesn't include a 2% increase,
right,
which all the rest of these would have a 2% raise.
That's correct.
And I didn't ask the question right, because for Gage here in fiscal year 17, projecting for next year, whatever we come up with in our budget, whatever that is, 2.5, 3% or whatever, you would also have to add that onto the fiscal year 17 for Gage County.
I guess What I'm going to propose, unless I'm convinced otherwise, is we may be partially funding this, and the university may be partially funding this. They, like I say, that's out of our hands. That's a university employee. We're partially funding something there. The same as partially funding Region 5 or any of those. We may not be in the position to, and there's a lot of what ifs still. This is really early, but mm-hmm. we may not be in a position to be funding anything. But this is something where this position may be one that we partially fund to the university, and if the university sees enough value in it, they may pick up the rest of the bill and keep that person on. So, I mean, we may be a partial. Mm-hmm. Here's this. Manage this money however you want. They're the same as we give you a building. The building's provided there. It can be used however. It's hands off. There's what it is. If you want new lights, put new lights in, you know, but that type of scenario, I guess, is the direction I was going.
Right. And the way that would probably play out with us is if you decided there's a certain dollar amount that you could contribute to this position, then it would be a part-time position. It might be a 9/10 or an 8/10 position is the way we would handle that.
Any more questions from them? Otherwise, we have committee meetings in another week and a half, and we'll keep visiting with John and, Paul
and John.
Jane, Paul and Jay and John and everything. And hopefully in the next month here we can get to something where maybe we can get the stuff ready so we can get the memorandum and get that all done by July 1 so that can switch over.
And you can just leave Paul out if you want, and we'll deal with you guys.
We'll keep him in the loop.
No, we need to keep him in the loop. We really thank you for coming down. We thank you for
you're welcome.
Preparing this here. So now we really have some numbers actually to go by. But we will, in a week from Monday, we'll have committee meeting. We'll start talking about then. We will have it on our agenda for discussion at our next board meeting also.
Okay. And Eric, just to your point, I just wanted to reiterate. So because we can estimate, we know what the salary will be July 1st. We'll know that. Maybe it might be June 30th. We'll know that, though, on July 1st. The benefits, we don't know. We don't know what the increase will be or what the employee will select. So that's always, you know, a question mark. So we might say this is going to be the cost for Gage County on July 1. That may go up or down just a little bit in November or December, or effective January 1st when the new benefit cycle goes into play. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
In your case, they probably coincide, right, your benefits and your fiscal year. But in our case, they don't. So just want to make sure you're clear on that. So,
okay.
All right.
Well, that's good too to know.
Okay.
You bet.
Thank you very much for your time.
No, thank you. Well, thank you guys
you.
For coming down.
Yeah,
thank you for waiting so long for
hey,
us.
Hey, no problem.
Trying to find my agenda back here. We have a approve or disapprove agreement with Hannah Keelan Associates for Planning and Zoning Review and Update of Comprehensive Plan in the amount of $14,000.
Move to approve.
Second.
We have a motion by Lytle and a second by Byers. Now, discussion. Come on up. Introduce yourself and.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Lonnie Dixon. I've been with Hannah Keelan for 22 years, and I've been involved with every project we've benefited by having an association with Gage County, and we truly appreciate that association. Working with you on your initial conference of plan and the last few updates as well. And I know Tim's been in contact with Mr. Dorn, your chairperson, by email and phone a little bit, and there might be a couple items you wanted to add into, like the zoning section or things of that regard, and that's fine. Still be the same cost and same timeline.
Same cost, because John brought up solar. We don't have anything in solar. I talked to Tim a little bit about that. That's something that not until somebody discussed it, do you realize that it, but then the last couple months, I think there's two or three projects in the state going on. We don't have any zoning for this for solar.
Well, it is
like that. We'd like to.
Just so you know, it is included as kind of a package of alternative energy systems that's referenced as one of your special conditional uses that requires a public hearing for approval. So you already have the authority to attach additional conditions to those. But we can be much more specific in terms of providing kind of a line-by-line provision by, you know, much like the wind energy section is for decommissioning or either provisions for installing and
I think that's something we'd sure like to have a part of the discussion.
Yeah.
Other than that, yeah.
Certainly. And as you point out, I've seen a couple of those solar arrays just recently in very unobscured, not really detrimental to the environs of the county settings and things like that. But there can be some issues if they're too close to the road or potentially reflection and things of that nature. So,
and just so you keep us informed, I know part of it was they were going to have some meetings, you know, and I think part of that outline was so that hopefully us and the zoning board are able to attend those and different things.
They wanted to see those.
And I think sometime in the middle 1990s is when the county adopted zoning. 97. I think Tim told me that.
Thank you, because I wouldn't ever remember the date, but obviously remember the
2004, 2006, the county did. Or Hannah Keelan helped again with, what do you call an assessment or?
Yeah, we did an update, if you will.
An update?
In August of 2010.
August of 2010, okay.
Yep.
And I think we're at that point again. There's enough, with enough things going on and some of the concerns we've had or people voicing their opinion.
No different from any of the other counties that we've worked with as well. And we worked with Jefferson.
Well, we've had some definite issues here in Gage County, and
I know you
have. I think we need to have some definite discussions on what our planning and zoning plan is.
And things do evolve. You're absolutely correct.
And they do evolve. And this is, I think the timeline in here was looking like approximately 8 months to 10 months.
Eight-month timeline.
Eight-month timeline, and then it will still go through the zoning board. They'll have a public hearing.
Right.
County board will have a public hearing. So, you know, you're looking at 8 months to a year to get this done. Don just showed me that the one they did in 2010, the cost was $12,500, so you haven't gone up a whole lot. $14,000 now. So.
Good.
Lisa, but, yeah.
Myra, I know I'm not on the board anymore, but my question would be if that would also include a drive-by summary again, especially of that northern district of Gage County, because that seems to be where the questions are. And I know in the original plan, we did have a drive-through to look at the overall view of actually how many homesteads, you know, are there. So that might be very important since that's our challenge.
Aerial photos now. We got aerial photos now. Yeah.
Roger says we have aerial photos now. No.
And we do use all resources at our disposal.
You will use all of them.
Yeah. But actually, as Lisa points out, the drive-by does give, you know, a much better impression as to what's going on. But
yeah,
we utilize satellite imagery and everything, too. So,
and then, just so you will come back with recommendations for the zoning board, and then they will look at them forwards, right, however they decide to the county board, and then the county board still, just because you come back and recommend this, the county board can still, or the zoning board can still adapt or change those also.
Definitely. By state statute, we are obligated to work directly with the Planning Commission.
Planning Commission.
And
okay,
we'll meet with them. We've proposed roughly about five times over that 8 month period. So.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Definitely hands on with those folks. You're most knowledgeable about planning and zoning issues, and basically want to take advantage of those folks too. But at the same time, obviously those meetings are posted and available for you folks to attend as well. It's not like you're excluded, but state statute just requires planners to work directly with your local planning entity. So.
Good deal.
But they hold a public hearing and they make a recommendation to the county board, and you as the governing body do make the final decisions. And if there's things you want to amend or include, we can do so at that time as well.
Okay. Any more questions?
Well, I did notice there was an Iowa State University graduate that we don't accept that. In
we give him a hard time every year, trust me.
Because everybody else has their master from University of Nebraska-Lincoln. Okay.
You're very, very much attuned there.
All right. We have Iowa State influence here in this room over in the news media. So
I see. Yeah, it's fun every sports season, and not just football, but kind of basketball as well, because they're a little bit better in basketball than we are, I hate to say. But
they used to be. Not we don't have any players left on the
basketball team. I was just going to say.
A little bit. You're
not having a team.
Yeah.
Any more questions? If not, we do have a motion to approve and a second vote. 6-0 in favor.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anything else on the agenda other than we do have a closed session? Yep.
Did we actually approve number three under the county bridge matching agreement? Did we approve that?
On the county bridge.
Yes.
Yeah, we did. But we do have, hold it, before we leave.
We did the resolution, but did we do that?
Yeah, I did an agreement.
Let's see. Wait a minute. Which one are we on?
Did we vote on it, you mean?
Did we, Roger?
I don't have anything down on mine, and I think you moved to another topic at that time.
I thought I seconded that.
Eric was first, and TJ was second.
We had a motion second. What John's asking, did we vote on it?
No.
Yeah, on number three.
We voted on the resolution.
Okay, we vote. I have Tiemann.
Oh, yeah.
Motion, Juergen second, 6-0 on number three for the agreement.
All right.
Then we had additional discussion after the vote.
Yeah.
That's right.
But we were going to have Galen come back with for the culvert projects and make a recommendation and vote on that yet. We're going to have that.
Yeah, Myron pulled the quick trigger on that one, if you guys remember right.
Yeah. Didn't allow for discussion. All of the discussion. Galen?
Okay, I recommend accepting the low bid from Contact Engineer Solution for $97,039.
Move to approve that bid as read.
Second. Motion by Tiemann, second by Juergens. Any discussion? Vote. 6-0 in favor. Now, anything else for the meeting? Otherwise, like I said, we do have a closed session. Otherwise, we will adjourn at 10:41 on the clock.
No,
you can't adjourn.
Well, not adjourn. No, I'll take that back. We're not adjourning at 10:41 on the clock. I will entertain a motion to go. We're going to take a break, 5-minute break before we start. But I entertain a motion to go into closed session though.
So moved. 10:41.
State of reason too.
Motion by Byers, second by Tiemann.
State of reason.
And we're going into closed session necessary for the protection of the public interest or the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual.
Don't we have to vote to adjourn too?
No, we do not have to vote to adjourn. I found that out. Vote. 6-0 in favor, but we are going to take a quick break before we go into closed session here. But
we don't have to, but we
want to make for good bargain, Mr. Chairman.
You are on.
11:40, move to come out of closed session.
Problems, don't they?
Second.
Motion by Lytle, seconded by Tiemann. Vote. 6-0 in favor.
Move to
and
adjourn.
We are adjourned.
Wait, second.
No, we don't have to have a motion to adjourn. We do not. See you, Terry. Yep. We do not have to have a